I'm a real wild one.
Wild one.
Wild one.
Wild one.
From Minnesota Public Radio, this is Grammar Grader. It's the podcast about words, grammar, and usage for the information age. This week's episode, Grammar Gone Wild. Our topic on Grammar Grader this week is
ripped from the headlines.
Last week, the Minnesota Wild, a team in the National Hockey League, had a change of ownership. The story made sporting headlines across North America, but it brought an interesting dilemma to the surface.
Hey, I scored some sweet tickets to the Wild home game tonight.
Oh yeah? Who are they playing?
I think the Wild is playing Calgary.
Don't you mean the Wild are playing Calgary?
I don't know. It's the Wild is, right?
Not sure. Perhaps the Wild are.
I never know what to say.
Well, who cares? Let's just go enjoy the game.
The Minnesota Wild, together with all sports teams, bands, choirs, corporations, and other such groups, fall into a category known as collective nouns. According to Fowler's Modern English Usage by R.W. Birchfield, a collective noun is a noun that is normally singular in form and denotes a collection or number of individuals. The Gregg Reference Manual has a similar definition. In the preceding scene, the two hockey fans were debating whether to use singular or plural verbs with a collective noun. Indeed, for some hardcore prescriptivists, the question the fans asked is a simple one, with a firm answer. But for those with a broader view, this isn't so easy. Sticking to NHL teams, it's not an issue with teams like the Blackhawks, the Bruins, the Canadiens. They're plural-sounding names and thus get plural verbs.
The Bruins play Montreal next week.
The Blackhawks have signed a new player.
But when you have a name like The Wild that doesn't have a handy S at the end, things get a little tricky. One person who explored this topic in the wake of last week's headlines about The Wild was Bob Collins of Minnesota Public Radio News. In his online column Newscut on NPR.org, Bob submitted the question to the arbiter of proper usage and manners of journalism, the Associated Press, and he got this response from the AP's style guru, David Minthorne.
The collective nouns entry of the AP style book says team names take plural verbs, so the Minnesota Wild are.
The AP's story on the sale of the team reflected the organization's plural style.
Success on the ice has been limited for the Wild, who have made the playoffs twice in six seasons and are currently in seventh place in the Western Conference.
In an interesting contrast to the AP style guide, the UPI style book, United Press International, is pretty unbending about collective nouns. That book insists that collective nouns take singular verbs and pronouns. So that means
The Wild plays its next game tonight.
The BBC News style guide describes how the BBC is split by department over this matter. BBC Radio insists that collective nouns are plural. For example,
the government are debating new legislation.
But the BBC News Online insists on singular treatment of these.
The government is debating new legislation.
But one place where the BBC style guide completely agrees is when it comes to sports teams.
In sport, teams are always plural. England are expected to beat the Balearic Islands. Tranmere Rovers have extended their lead at the top of the Premiership.
Fowler's Modern English Usage split the entire collective noun issue along geographical and political lines.
In British English, collective nouns can be singular or plural, so long as attendant pronouns follow suit. In American English, the choice is much more restricted. That is to say, the choice is singular.
But the Gregg Reference Manual, an American publication, doesn't draw any political lines around the topic. Instead, it allows the use of singular or plural verbs as follows.
If the group is thought of as acting as a unit, use a singular form of the verb. For example,
the board of directors meets Friday.
If the members of the group are thought of as acting separately, the verb should be plural.
The committee are not in agreement on the action they should take.
Most importantly, the Gregg Reference Manual goes on to say this.
The choice of a singular or plural verb often depends on whether you wish to emphasize the group as a unit or as a collection of individuals. However, once the choice has been made, treat the collective noun consistently within the same context.
What that means is that if the choice is made to use singular verbs in reference to a collective noun, one is then required to use the singular pronoun it later on. For example, it's not correct to say or write a sentence like this.
The Wild plays their next game tonight.
Because plays and there do not agree. It's like saying
they plays their next game tonight.
And that kind of sounds like Popeye.
They plays the next game tonight.
So the choice comes down to
the Wild plays its next game tonight.
Or
the Wild play their next game tonight.
Similar to sports teams, a look through music magazines such as Spin, Rolling Stone, the NME, and Q reveals that band names, whether or not they end in S, are treated in the plural too.
The Shins have several albums to their credit. U2 are working on a new film about their music.
Ultimately, it comes down to writer or speaker choice. The reference books support you. Do what you think sounds best, singular or plural, but then adhere to that form once you've made your choice. Remember to stay consistent with any subsequent pronouns you use throughout your piece of writing.
All right, all right. Can we just go to the game now?
Yeah, before the season's over.
This has been Grammar Grader from Minnesota Public Radio. Source material for this episode comes from the Gregg Reference Manual by William A. Sabin, the AP Style Guide, the UPI Stylebook and Guide to News Writing, from Fowler's Modern English Usage, and from the BBC News Style Guide. Most of these can be found at publicradiomarket.org. If you'd like to see a written version of this episode, go to minnesotapublicradio.org and click on Grammar Grader in the Programs menu. Thanks as always to the Grammatis Personae players, Corey Bussey, Amy Alt, and John Ryan. Special thanks to Bob Collins for his input. Our editor is Jen Houck. Our producer is Brett Baldwin. Executive producer is John Pearson. I'm Luke Taylor. Thanks for listening. And be sure to check out Brett Baldwin's new podcast, Face Melter, at minnesotapublicradio.org.